Chapter 8. Meanwhile, beyond Europe. The Byzantines in the east, who were in fact also Romans, managed the dubious achievement of keeping the deeply unpleasant Roman Empire going for 1,000 years longer. They had a couple of major twists on Romanism, one positive, one negative. On the downside, they became a theocracy with an absolute ruler. The old Roman pretense of democracy in the form of the Senate was turned into even more of a pretense. On a more positive note, while they kept up the slavery for a while, it gradually declined, partly, it is said, under the disapproving glare of Christianity, a small Jewish cult that had got out of hand. Christianity, like most religions, has swung between being a moderating influence on society and a source of extremism. Later, it came to be used as justification for slavery again, and then to help abolish it again. By and large, this history will deal little with religion. That's not because religion has no effect on the world, clearly it does, but because the actual beliefs of religion are largely uninteresting and reflect the societies of the time. Our interest will be in how people relate to each other. While religion is endlessly used as justification for how people treat each other, it's far from clear that it genuinely causes that treatment. Rather, it is deployed at the convenience of rulers to determine the rightness of a course of action. Which is as apt a time as any to speak of the beginning of Islam. The great benefit of Islam was its ability to end the ceaseless warring between Arab tribes that made life in much of Southwest Asia unstable and dangerous. The Islamic bloc united acted as a counterweight to European dickishness for a long time, which is not to say it wasn't also dickish in its own way. The history of Islam, like the history of China and India and so on, are largely beyond the remit of this work. Other civilizations will be mentioned a few times, however, and we must steer clear of two tendencies particularly noticeable in examining Asian empires from Europe. The first is to wax lyrical about the massive improvements the great empires brought. The second is to demonize the empires as aggressive or harsh, unlike our nice empires. Muhammad kept slaves. Islam has sometimes argued that slaves should be treated well and spiritually as equals. The Zanj rebellion in the Abbasid Empire was a reaction to the brutality of slaving practices in that Muslim empire. Slaves were sometimes trusted and reached positions of power. Women slaves in the Arab world were habitually raped, as they were later in the Caribbean by British and French people. Let us neither venerate empires, nor pretend that Arabia was better or worse than Europe. Meanwhile, the mayor got on with things for a very long time, really quite a long time. They merit more than this brief paragraph, but others are more qualified to write their history than I am. By which I mean the Mayans, who never went away. Chapter 9, the English invasions. England got invaded a lot over the period from Roman rule to the Norman invasion. This was presumably quite unpleasant for a lot of people. The impact of repeated invasion on a culture can be seen today in Afghanistan. In the last 50 years in Afghanistan, the walls of compounds have been built higher. Belief in a better world has been eroded. And most of all, many, many people are highly traumatised. War traumatises on a huge scale. And that includes the invaders as well as the invaded. Though, of course, the invaded are likely to see the worst of it. Rape is a constant in war and ensures an elevated level of trauma for many women. Loss afflicts everybody. Such was the period that has habitually been called the Anglo-Saxon period. There's now debate over whether or not that's a suitable name for it, but some things need not be a matter for debate. There is no such thing as the Anglo-Saxon race. It simply doesn't exist. There's two reasons for that. One is that race is not a real thing. Even human genetic markers distinctive to particular geographic areas always occur on gradients, so it's not possible to put a line around a particular area and say, this is where X race lives. Scientists generally don't use the concept of race. The second reason is that even if you can argue that there are genetic markers that were stronger among a set of Germanic tribes, the Angles, Saxons and Jutes, those genes mix with the people already living in England, and then further invasions and immigration cause further mixing. The concept of an Anglo-Saxon race that exists today is an absurdity. Anglo-Saxon culture is also a concept so dubious that we should probably dispense with it. What's it tied to? The culture of Angles, Saxons and Jutes? Anyway, along came the Normans. That was the last large-scale invasion on UK soil, though a smaller invasion was to occur later in the form of the not-so-peaceful, not-so-glorious revolution. The Normans introduced a more systematic form of feudalism by killing everyone who disagreed with them. Rather than discuss whether this was a social improvement, we could look at a couple of other questions. Why did the Normans feel the need to go around killing people in order to get more land? It was quite a habit. They started in Scandinavia, worked their way down the coast of Europe to France, and ventured into southern Europe, and then into the backwater of Britain. What makes a man? It was all done by men. Decide it, he can't bear to stay at home and have a comfortable life, but instead needs to go off killing and raping on a regular basis. To put it another way, what on earth was wrong with the Normans? Conventional history doesn't tell us, regarding it as normal that men should kill each other for land. What a bunch of psychopaths. The military occupation of Britain lasted for some time, but only about 8,000 Norman settlers moved to Britain, with the result that over time, military occupation turned into intermarriage, and thus the loss of distinction between Briton and Norman. For centuries afterwards, however, posh people would speak French in order to show that they were the real rulers. The working class would respond by deliberately mispronouncing French in a calculated insult to their masters. Slavery in Britain declined under the Normans, but only because serfs were cheaper, since you weren't required to look after them yourself. This history will not subscribe to the notion of the Norman yoke, the belief that the Normans introduced a new level of oppression to the island. The main reason not to take it seriously is that the idea was not developed until many hundreds of years after the Normans had ceased to be important. However, it is worth noting some special aspects of the Norman presence. They created a lot of the vast aristocratic land holdings that were to help impoverish ordinary people for the next 1,000 years. Large areas set aside for the king and other lords were ruthlessly policed to prevent people getting too much food from them. Game laws are the historical equivalent of periods of wage restraint. It sounds reasonable until you realise it is a deliberate campaign of impoverishment. Little is known about whether the Normans had better or worse attitudes towards women than those they defeated. History only speaks of upper-class women, so little is known of the lives of ordinary women. There is no doubt that women were in a subordinate role both before and after the conquest. Given that, we might ask what the usual effect of invasion and military occupation is on women. If the power of men was usually massively greater than the power of women, what happened when the man habitually carried a sword? We can take a wild guess. If the Normans were known for developing an entrenched parasitic aristocracy that Britain would forever struggle to get rid of, they looked like mere hobbyists compared to the Holy Roman Empire over the water, which developed aristocracy into a high art form. In the Holy Roman Empire and its successor, the Austrian Empire, aristocracy bred like rabbits, swarmed like flies, and fought like hyenas. China at this time was already developing much more sensible systems of government. In Europe, the fragmented dominance of princeling pricks caused a lot of death to a lot of people who largely didn't enjoy it. Europe would remain a benighted backwater for centuries to come. Chapter 10, The Mongols and Us. The Mongol Empire was the largest contiguous land empire ever. What are we to say of this legendarily aggressive, murderous and victorious empire that lasted for hundreds of years? They slaughtered tens of millions of people with a policy of total, overwhelming revenge for any slight against their power. But the lesson of the Mongols is not that those Asians can be more cruel than us, though naturally racist historians in Europe propagated this idea for a long time. Rather, the lesson is surely that any culture can become psychopathic, and we must all be on our guard against that possibility. Humans have the ability to cut off all empathy and all feelings of common humanity, sometimes for deeply held principles, other times for something as nonsensical as glory. Being keen on arseholes as rulers is one of the main factors that leads to cultures becoming psychopathic, though it is not the only factor. It turned out to be a shame that racist history, assuming that Asian peoples were fundamentally different from European peoples, prevented Europe learning the right lessons from the Mongol Empire. What a tragic missed opportunity. If the right lesson had been learned, the later atrocities by Europeans, both within Europe and outside of it, would have come as less of a surprise. Perhaps people might even have been on their guard against them. Sometimes cultures go wrong. Sometimes they go wrong for long periods. Murder, often under the name of law or war or empire, becomes normalised. This is the dark truth that the Mongol Empire offers us. But in fact, it is the dark truth offered us by any empire. Every empire in the history of the world has expanded and sustained itself by killing lots of people. That's kind of what an empire is. The Mongol hordes were just better at it than most.